Let's get ready for the word. I am ready to preach this morning, and I'm very excited. And I believe God will speak to you, God will inspire you, God will challenge you, and your life will never be the same again. Amen. I remember I joined a cycling club back in 2014. The name of that club is Vukani Cycling Club. And when they handed me the jersey, they said to me, "Michael, your life will never be the same again." And my life has never been the same again since I joined those bunch of boys. But yeah, I'm saying to you today, your life will never be the same again after hearing what God has in store for you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. Father, this is your word. It's not my word. I thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. I thank you that your word will not come back to you void, but your word will fulfill everything you have sent it to do. And today we open our hearts and we pray that you'd speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go straight to the word. If you can give me the slide this morning. Can you see the slide? I want us to read together in honoring the word of God. The Bible says, read with me as you read in the projector. Let's go for it. And it happened after the death of Moses, the servant of Jehovah. Jehovah spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I give them today, the sons of Israel." Amen. Thank you for reading with me. Right, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Now we catch up with the nation of Israel at the verge of getting into the promised land. We all know this story. They were about to cross into the promised land, and this was a moment of transition for them. It was a moment of transition for this great nation because it had been a long time since they had left Egypt. It had been 40 years. 40 years since they had left Egypt, going to the promised land. A journey that was meant to take 11 days, it took them 40 years. Come on now. A journey that was supposed to take them 11 days, it took them how many years? 40 years. That's not your portion. When the Lord speaks, he wants to do his word quickly in your life. The issue is, am I in cooperation with God for his word to become a reality when it's supposed to be? I want you to know the word of God will not return to him void. The word is patient. The word will wait for you to line yourself with it so that you can see it becoming a reality in your life. The Lord did not withdraw his promise after 1 year. He said, no, I release my promise, you will get into Egypt even after 80 years. So you get into Canaan, rather, even after 80 years. God was determined. Now, the people who had started from Egypt had all died in the desert. Just think about it. The people who started off with the promise had died in the desert, except for two, Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else, dololo. And you're like, "Lord, why? What happened?" Sometimes God has given you a word, but because of the way you are living, you might not experience the promise, but your children will see that promise becoming a reality. Because that word will not go back void until it has fulfilled what it has been sent to do. Moses did not enter into the promised land, but Joshua did. The word remained true, though Moses was no more. It was a community that had gone through a lot. And here they are at the edge of the promise. Here they are smelling the honey, hearing the cows, the milk. They're like, we are there. We are almost there. They were at the verge of the promise. And looking at what is happening here, it gives me a sense of where we are as a people. It gives me a sense of where we are as a church, where we are as a community, where we are as a nation. We are at the verge of a promise. We're at the edge of something big, something that we've never seen before. Hallelujah. Do you know why I'm saying that? None of us have been to 2021. It's an issue of how you want to think about how 2021 is going to play out. Right now, we're at the edge of another season. And I want you to know that at the end of every year, we are given an opportunity to reset. And as we go into 2021, we are being given an opportunity to reset our lives. The question is, how does one walk into an unknown season with confidence? How do you walk into 2021 with confidence? So this morning, I want to talk to you on a subject matter, how to face the future with confidence. How to face the future with confidence. How do you do that? You know what? The year 2020 has been a very strange year. What has happened to us in 2020 changed our outlook. Changed everything about us. The question is, how do we get up and face the future with hope, regardless of what you have gone through in 2020? Regardless of what I have gone through, regardless of what you have lost and what you have gained. Some people have gained a lot in 2020. Some have lost a lot. It just depends on what it is. Hello? I've gained more gray hairs in 2020. I now have to shave my head in order to hide a bit of that gray hair. Because it looks just out of nowhere, everything became gray. I'm like, Lord, really? Thank you. Consolation. Gray hair comes with wisdom. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Struggling a bit here. Just give me a second. Are you still there? Fear not, it's not Corona, okay? Just a little bit of, yeah. Okay, so where was I? I was saying a little bit of gray hairs have come up in my head, but it's okay. I'm okay. I'm all right with that. Amen. I'm not worried about it because I've been given long life. Hallelujah. Now, so whatever you have gone through in 2020, I believe the Lord wants you to face 2021 with a clear understanding, with the right attitude. So how do we do that? So where we have read, we come across a moment in time for the nation of Israel that was quite telling in nature. And guess what? God was there. They were crossing over. Life was about to change. When you read in the book of Joshua, you find that the moment they crossed over into Canaan, the manna stopped immediately. And they enjoyed the first product of the land. The manna stopped. So you are on a point of transition in your life where God is saying, I'm taking you into a different dimension of your life. Now, what was going on here? What was at play? The great leader Moses was dead. This was the leader who took them from Egypt. Remember, they almost refused. They said, leave us alone in Egypt. But Moses said, no, there is a promise. There is a promise and God wants to take you into Canaan. Now he's dead. Can you imagine a leader leading you all the way to a certain point and then he dies? Jesus pulled the same stunt with his disciples. After 3 years, Jesus died. And he said to them, guys, it's now up to you. And I'm sure the disciples were concerned. They thought, we're going to take over from the Roman Empire. And this man goes out and he leaves us by ourselves. So Moses was dead, but the promised land was yet to be possessed. And then to make matters worse, there was a rookie on charge. Joshua was now in charge. Joshua was always behind the scenes all the time. Joshua was always behind the scenes, and Moses was leading the people of God, and all of a sudden he's thrust right into the front, and God is saying, it's time for you to lead. In this moment of transition, I want you to know that God was not absent. God was present. Now take note of this. God is present during every season of your transition. God is present whether you're transitioning from being single to being married. God is present. Hallelujah, somebody. God is present whether you move from being employed to being unemployed. Come on now. God is present right there. Whether you're being promoted, God is present. Whether you are with child expecting to give birth, God is present. Hallelujah. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So whatever you are facing right now, he is in the know. God is present. Now, Joshua 1:1, the Bible says, and it happened after the death of Moses that the servant of Jehovah spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, my servant is dead. Now, this morning, I want you to realize that in order to embrace the future with confidence, Joshua needed to have a clear sight of his current circumstances. And God made sure that Joshua was clear about where he was. So how do we face the future with confidence? Number one, you need to understand your current circumstances. For you to face the future with confidence, you need to appreciate where you find yourself today. Can you imagine somebody phoning you and they're trying to find their way to your house and they're saying, I am lost. What do you do? What do you say first? Say, where are you? Tell me where you are, then I'm able to direct you to my house. In this contemporary world, we say, send me your location. You send them your location and they're able to locate you. Hallelujah. So this morning, if you are to move into 2021 with confidence, you need to acknowledge where you are. You need to understand your situations right now. You see, Moses had led the children of Israel for 40 years. Moses had performed mighty miracles. Moses had seen God face to face as a leader. But the same Moses was no more. Joshua had been ordained as the leader by Moses himself before he died. When you look at the last chapters of Deuteronomy, you find that Moses was busy ordaining Joshua as the leader. But Joshua was not recognizing the shift of events. I think Joshua was still daydreaming, thinking of his leader Moses, leading the people of God. And God looked at Joshua and says, he is still not aware of the prevailing situation. That is why then God came in verse 2 and says to Joshua, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you aware of what has died in your life? You keep on living as if that thing is still alive. Come on now. Are you aware of what is alive in your life now? You keep on living as if it's not present in your life. Are you aware of the change of seasons in your life? You keep on living as if you are in winter, but summer is here. Are you aware that you are now married? Come on now. We married a great couple a month or two ago. Are they still living as if they are single? Or they are now living as they are married because they know? You know how you know if they are now married? They are now pitching at home early because there's a wife and a husband at home. Hello, somebody. I'm preaching to somebody right now and they're looking at each other. But what am I saying today? I'm saying, are you aware of your seasons? If you don't acknowledge where you are, you will not face the future with confidence. Listen to me. You need to acknowledge where you've been, what you've been through, and where you are before attempting stepping into tomorrow. You've got to take stock of what has happened in your life in the previous season. Take stock of what you have gained. Take stock of what you have lost. Take stock of what could have been but did not happen. Hello? The moment you take stock of all those things, something in you rises up. It's either you say, I'm not going to lose ground that I have benefited. Or you say, I have lost ground. I'm not going to continue losing ground. I'm going to look at life differently. Do you see why it's important for you to take stock? Do you know why it's important for you to look at your bank account and you realize I am in the red, but I keep on borrowing? Something has to change. Hello, somebody. Joshua needed to be reminded that Moses was no more. He needed to be reminded that if he doesn't do anything, that nation was not going to move. You need to be reminded that if you do not pray, things will not change in your life. If you do not seek God concerning 2021, 2020 might repeat itself. I'm talking about taking stock of where you are. You see, I want you to realize that there's so much potential in the pain of a loss. When you realize how much you have lost, something in you rises up and you say, this is not who I am. My God is still on the throne. I'm going to call unto him. Hallelujah. He says, call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you did not know. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. It doesn't matter where you are right now. It can create an opportunity in your life to be aggressive in the spirit. To say, that's not the end. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hallelujah. I'm not stagnant in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm just passing by. Where you are right now is not your destination. You're just passing by. But you've got to acknowledge that I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to die here. This is not the end of my life. Hallelujah. You see, I'm not that kind of a person who will come and tell you 2021 is going to be an amazing year. No, but what I can tell you is that God has gone ahead of you into 2021. You see, whenever God was about to shift things in somebody's life, he would allow that person to acknowledge his current situation. Before God can move you forward, he wants you to acknowledge where you find yourself. Do you know that without acknowledging where you are, there's no salvation? Without acknowledging that you are a sinner who is hell-bound, there is no salvation. Now, when you look at Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they did their thing and God came. Adam, Adam, where are you? Do you think that God did not know where Adam was? God knew exactly where they were. But he wanted Adam to see where he was. That something had shifted. That something had gone wrong with him. That he had moved away from the glory of God. And say, Adam, Adam, where are you? And Adam was saying, he was hiding, running away from the Father. He wanted Adam to see where he had been, where he had fallen from. Jesus, looking at a blind man, he's seeing that this man is blind, but he looks at this man and says, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus, can't you see that I'm blind? Jesus, can't you see that I need a job? Jesus, can't you see I want to get married? He'll say, what do you want me to do for you? He says, I want to see. I want my eyesight to be restored. When the temple was being rebuilt in the days of Haggai, when the Israelites came out of captivity, out of Babylon, they went back to Jerusalem. They were rebuilding the temple of the Lord. Again in Haggai 2, verse 3, the prophet says, who is left among you who saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Self-evaluation. You've got to self-evaluate in order for you to have a New Year's resolution that will impact your life. You've got to look at your life and say, I haven't been praying. I haven't grown in my spirit being in 2020. Things cannot remain the same. My relationships have become more toxic. I cannot have certain people in my life. Here he's saying, who was there in the first? Who saw the glory at the beginning? And how do you see it now when compared to it? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Self-evaluation. Revelation 2 verse 5. The Lord was speaking to a church here. He says, consider how far you have fallen. Self-evaluation. Consider how 2020 has gone. You see, with this whole issue of online church, it has got its negative side. People have gotten so used to be sitting on the couches and watching the pastor preaching via Facebook to the extent that we no longer place value in this. We no longer place value in being in a corporate gathering. Let's consider, here it says here, consider how far you have fallen, repent, and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. I'm saying reevaluate yourself if you are to walk into 2020 with a different attitude. In 2021 with a different attitude. Paul understood the concept of considering his current situation and choosing to forge ahead with a different mentality. Philippians 3 verse 13. My brothers, I do not count myself to have taken possession, but one thing I do, forgetting the things behind and reaching forward to the things before. I forget what has happened in 2020. I've learned, I've got lessons, I'm wiser, but I'm not going to allow what happened in 2020 to hold me back in dreaming again. Somebody needs to dream again with Jehovah. Somebody needs to write down again those things that you wrote in 2018. But they were decimated by 2020. But Paul says here, I haven't laid hold of those things that Christ laid hold of me. Other version says, I haven't apprehended that which Christ apprehended me for. I have lost a big portion of 2020, but I need to make it up. 2021, I have to do things differently to regain the time I lost in 2020. The people we could not disciple in 2020, we need to make it up in 2021. And say, Lord, open doors for us to reach more souls. Does somebody hear me today? Verse 14 says, I press toward the mark. I press, I press, I press. You know that song? I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Have you forsaken your calling because you were in isolation? We've got to reinvent ourselves and say, how do we become relevant even in these circumstances? Talking about a healthy way of looking at your past, there's a quote that I found in my study Bible. The quote said, be freed from the stagnation of yesterday's victories and the emotional paralysis of yesterday's failures or yesterday's mistakes. You've got to be freed from the stagnation that comes from yesterday's victories, where you keep on saying, when we were in business, when we were in ministry, when we were being used by God, but what about today? You've got to be weary of being stagnated by yesterday's victories and being paralyzed by yesterday's mistakes. Do you know how that happens? You look at the mistakes of 2020 and you disqualify yourself prematurely. That's not the heart of God for you. You know, the kind of God we serve is a God who says, let bygones be bygones. Let's chart a new course right now. Hallelujah. My plans for you have not changed because of what you did yesterday. I'm talking about reevaluating your current circumstances. That is why God came to Joshua and said, Joshua, it hasn't recorded in your mind that Moses is dead. And he said to him, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Now you are my servant. Arise, and do what you're supposed to do. Number two, how do we face the future with confidence? I want you to know that your future is secured by God's promises. Your future is secured by God's promises. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. It doesn't matter how much you have lost, how much you've gained. Your future is made secure by the promises of God, not by yesterday. There are a lot of people who no longer have confidence in what God has spoken over their lives because of what has happened. When they look behind, there's a trail of blood. When they look behind, they see a lot of dead bodies. When they look behind, they see there's a lot of betrayal that has gone on, and they were part and parcel of it. And because of that, they feel their future has been compromised by what they did. But this morning, I want you to know that your future is secured by God's promises, not by what you did. Joshua 1 verse 3. God came to Joshua, and he started speaking to him, and he said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. Joshua is not about your experience. Can I speak to a Joshua right now? It's not about the family you come from. It's not about the degrees that you acquired or the lack thereof. It's not about your age. Come on, our young children. It's not about whether you're 10 years or you're 7 years or you're 11 years. No, that's not the issue that determines your future. What determines your future is what God has said about you. Are you a person of promise? If you are a person of promise, it doesn't matter where you are right now. That promise will draw you into the future. That promise calls you forth. Hallelujah. The promise of God for me are beckoning me in 2021. The promise of God are saying, come, come. The land is ready for occupation. Hallelujah. Now you need to realize this morning, take note of this. Understand that your future is not determined by prevailing circumstances, but by the promises of God. Do you have a promise for your children? What has the Lord been saying about your children? What has the Lord been saying about your studies? What has the Lord been saying about your marriage? That is what matters. You see, Joshua needed to draw comfort and confidence in knowing that God had already gone ahead of him. And I want you to know that God has already gone ahead of you into 2021. Whether there's corona or there's no corona, the promise of God remains true in your life. Hello, somebody. Joshua needed to have this understanding. Now, the nature of the promise of God should help you and I to look at life differently. Right. So the nature of the promise of God, 1 Kings 8, verse 56. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. According to all that he promised. Not one word has failed. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant. Generations down the road, people were still testifying on the faithfulness of God, that not one of them fell to the ground. If you're a person of promise, hallelujah, your life will end up in the promise. Your life will end up counting because of the promises of God over your life. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. For as many as are the promise of God, in him they are, yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. This morning, if you are a person of promise, and if you are a child of God, you are a person of promise. There is a promise for you, you just need to find it. You just need to connect yourself with it. Why? Because God says, for I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. Thoughts of good and not of bad, that you might have a good future. What's going on in your life right now? In Hebrews 10, verse 23, the Bible says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold on. If you had a business plan that God gave you, hold on to that business plan. Hallelujah. If you are in a marriage and things are not working out right now, hold on, because that marriage is ordained by God and he will not leave you nor forsake you. Now here the writer of the Hebrews says, for he who promised is faithful. That's all that Joshua needed in that season of transition, to know that it was not about his skill or his ability. It was about the one who promised. Glory be to God. Number three, how do we face the future with confidence? I want you to know that we face the future with confidence because of God's presence. God's presence guarantees the future for you. God's presence guarantees the future for this church. Hello, somebody. God's presence guarantees the future for your workplace. God's presence guarantees the future for your business. The Bible says, though a righteous man might fall 7 times, yet he'll rise up again. You're a business person, you might have fallen 6 times, and yet you're going to rise up. Why? Because of his presence. People of his presence are dangerous people. You cannot hold back somebody who carries the presence of God. Hallelujah. That's a good place to clap. Because when I carry the presence of God, you better befriend me, because the presence of God attracts certain things. My own enemies will start loving me. They will give me things cursing. We don't even know why we're doing this for him, but just do it for him. Oh, well, you don't know, it's the presence. The presence of God over my life changes the atmosphere. I walk into a tension-filled environment, the presence of God changes it. She can testify to that. What am I talking about today? God's presence guarantees the future for your family. You see, the fear of the unknown makes people feel insecure about their future. You think about your children. You don't know how they're going to play out. You don't know whether, I don't know how they're going to play out. Are they going to get married well? Is she going to meet the right guy who won't abuse her? Is he going to meet the right woman who will be faithful to him? Will they get a job in this country? Will the economy still be functional when they are 40, these guys? Can you see the amount of insecurities that come into your heart? Because it's an unknown territory. But when you carry the presence of God, you don't need to fear about tomorrow. Hallelujah. Because he goes before you. Joshua 1 verse 5. The Bible says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Why? As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or nor forsake you. That was the key. Joshua, you need to understand this, that no man will be able to stand against you. Let me speak to Joshua again this morning. No man will be able to stand against you. You'll be way stronger than them. Not because you've been to the gym, but because you carry his presence. Hallelujah. I'm excited about 2021. Why? Because I carry the presence of God. I make it a point that I will carry the presence of God into 2021. Let me tell you something. Don't carry people's presence into 2021. Carry the presence of Jehovah. You know what that does? It changes what you're going to be doing in this recess period. It changes what you're going to be doing in these coming 3-4 weeks. You're going to find yourself in the presence of Jehovah. You're going to find yourself in your closet seeking his presence. Why? Because you know his presence will guarantee the future. You're not going to waste too much time on Netflix. I'm not against Netflix. but I'm against 6 hours on Netflix. I have an issue with that. Come on now. Hanley, you know what I'm talking about? What am I talking about? I'm saying let's make it a point to carry his presence into 2021. There's a time to have fun. There's a time to fellowship. But there's a time to fellowship with the Most High God. Carve out time to trigger his presence in your life. There are things that we do that attract his presence. Spend time in worship. Why? He inhabits the praises of his people. When you spend time in worship in these coming 4 weeks, you don't need to worry about the coming 12 months. Ah, oh, did somebody get that? Did you hear that right now? You spent 4 weeks in his presence. You don't worry about 12 months coming. Why? Because you're stocking up. You can stock up the presence of God in your life. You come back in January, you're glowing with the glory of God. And you're like, Masha, what's happening? What are you wearing? Like, it's just the presence. It's just his presence. There's something that happens when we carry the presence of Jehovah. I want that. And he told Joshua, no man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Hallelujah. As he was with Joshua, he will be with you. Glory be to God. That's why I'm excited about 2021. And these are principles that if we live by, we don't need to fear tomorrow. Listen to me. Your future lines up for your good because of the presence of God in your life. Your future lines up for your good. Listen, I'm not talking about stars lining up for your good. We don't give our lives to stars. We give our lives to the presence of Jehovah. And because of his presence, everything before us lines up for our good. Somebody was just telling me now that as they were driving up to Limpopo, they just got to an accident just after it happened. And in my mind, I'm saying, that was the hand of God showing you that he walked with you. I want you to know when you walk with the presence of God, your future has no choice but to agree with the promises of God for you. In his time, he will do what he purposed to do in your life. So I'm saying here, your future lines up for your good. That is why the Bible says, for we know all things work together for our good. All things work together for your good. So I might get sick, but I know things will work out for my good. Whichever way, you see, the devil is a loser. Whichever way he comes into your life, our God will have the last say on our lives. I'm talking about 2021. I'm excited for this church, what God will be doing in this coming season. Now, I want you to realize that Joshua was going to be too strong for his enemies. Not because he was a skilled warrior, but because the heavenly armies were with him. Not because he had trained his boys to be so strong, no, but because there was a heavenly host that had been dispatched on his behalf. Now, in the absence of God, one's future lies in the balance. In the absence of God, you have every reason to be concerned about what will happen in 2021. In the absence of Jehovah, you have every reason to be concerned about your children. In the absence of God, you have every reason to be concerned about whether you will have enough money to see you through the year. But in the presence of Jehovah, things change. My question is, how much God are you carrying into 2021? The more of God you carry, the more confident you'll become concerning the new season. Daniel 11 verse 32, the Bible says, this is talking about in the last days, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. I'm interested in part B. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. There shall be a distinction. Those that know their God, they shall be strong and they will do great exploits. Something happens to those who carry the presence of God. They find favor with their enemies. Doors that were shut start opening. Battles that would have killed them, they become victorious in those battles. Hallelujah. Moses understood that you cannot get the promise, enjoy it in the absence of the promise giver. Moses understood that principle, and I love this scripture, Exodus 33, verse 15. God was telling Moses that, Moses, these people are stiff-necked, and if I go with them, I'm going to kill them. You, Moses, go. I'm going to give you an angel. This angel will lead you. This angel will guide you into the promised land, but I'm not coming with you. Can you see how faithful God remains? God remains so faithful. He says, though they are stiff-necked, was after the calf had been worshipped there in the desert. And God was so angry, and Moses was there interceding for the people of God. And God says, you know what, let's compromise. You go. I'll give you an angel, but I'm not coming with you. Saints, I don't want an angel to go with me without Jesus. I don't care how many angels are promised to be with me. I don't want no angel in the absence of Jehovah. There are people who've got this habit of commanding angels and saying, this angel and that angel and that angel. Let me just put brackets. You have no right to address angels. Angels are not for our addressing. Angels belong to Jehovah God. And he will dispatch them as he wants to. Hello? We don't need angels. We need the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost inside of us. It's a bonus to have angels around us. Just hear me correct. It's a bonus to have them, but we don't pray to angels. We pray to the Most High God. And then the Bible says, he will set angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a rock. Who does it? He does it. The Bible says angels are ministering spirits unto saints. God dispatches the angels. So Moses understood that, yeah, I can have an angel, but an angel is not God. So that's 33 verse 15. And he said to him, if your presence does not go with me, do not carry us up from here. Lord, if your presence doesn't come with us into 2021, I don't know if it is possible, I want to stay in 2020. I'm just saying, I don't want to do it by myself. Like they say in wrestling, don't try this at home. There's a disclaimer. Don't do this at school. Don't try it by yourself. Go with the presence of Jehovah. He says here, if your presence does not go with us, don't take us from here. Now he expands why he's saying that. He's saying here, for in what shall it be known that I and your people... He says here, for in what shall it be known that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not in that you go with us? So we shall be separated, I and your people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. I want you to know the distinguisher between you and any other person is this thing called the presence of God. The difference between this meeting and the lottery club meeting down the road is the presence of God. Same people. But the difference is, in this place here, the Shekinah glory is here. The presence of Jehovah is here. And that is what makes a difference. The difference between two CEOs is not so much their skills. It's not so much their degrees. It's the presence. It's what they carry. When you carry the presence of God, it will be a distinction between you and any other person. And Moses said, how will it be known that we have found grace in you, unless your presence goes with us? Lord, what will be the difference between us and the Moabites? Lord, what will be the difference between us and the Canaanites if your presence is not with us? I don't want church without his presence. I don't want to preach without his presence. Let's not do it. Let's not lead worship here without his presence. Let's not be fathers and mothers without his presence. Lest you think that is less spiritual. Very spiritual. Don't be a student without his presence, because you'll be the same as any other student. But when you have his presence, they will know there's something different about this person. Number four, are we getting something this morning? God's word in you sets you up for a prosperous future. Listen to me. It is God's word in you that sets you up for a prosperous future. Allow me to say this. It's not the bangle that sets you up for the future. It's not the anointed oil that sets you up for the future. It's not the seed offerings that you give to Papa that sets you up for the future. Hello, somebody. Am I talking to somebody? It's not the water that we sprinkle in our cars that protects us. Come on now. It's not any other material other than the Bible that sets you for a good future. It's not the amount of carrying the Bible for Papa that sets you up for the future. You can carry my Bible until you've got blisters in your hands, but if that Bible is not inside of you, there is no future. Come on now, people. We need to move away from ministries that manipulate us to believe something other than Jehovah. When I start giving you oils, I'm diverting your faith from the healer to the oil. That is called idolatry. Come on now. The word of God in you sets you up for a prosperous future. Like they say, garbage in, garbage out. What you put inside of you will come out when pressure is applied on you. What have you been feeding yourself with? When you've got an orange fruit, you will only know that it's an orange fruit. When you squeeze it out, what comes out is orange juice. When you are squeezed by life, what comes out? Is it the word or it's something else? Many people want the results that can be found in the word, but they don't have the word inside of them. We want the prosperity. We want the promotion. But the Bible tells me promotion neither comes from the east nor from the west, but it comes from the Lord. The one who raises up one man and brings down another man. Hello, somebody. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. It does not say may not. May not is giving you an option. May, it's an option. But shall, it's an emphatic statement telling you, sister, you have no choice. You got no choice but to get this word. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it by day and by night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall act wisely. This word of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate upon it by day and by night, and to be careful to do what it says. And in so doing, you make your ways prosperous and you make your ways wise. Come 2021. I have what I need for whatever life will throw at me. The formula to Joshua's success was how much time he was going to spend in the word. There was a formula. I can give you 21 principles on how to be successful in 2021. But one principle that you need, the formula is called get the word in you. Meditate upon it day and night. Teach it to your children. Hallelujah. My wife has studied this thing with our kids. She's telling them, you are going to memorize Psalms 23. You're going to memorize Psalms 91. You're going to memorize Romans 8 verse 28. You're going to memorize Romans 10, 17. You're going to come back, otherwise no TV. Hello? I don't know. Maybe she's too tough with her kids. But I love it. Okay? Whatever we do, let's get the word inside of us. Let's get the word inside our kids. Okay, PlayStation, come on now. PlayStation, there's a time for PlayStation, but there's a time for you to buy your child a Bible that is age relevant for them to start getting the word inside of them. If it doesn't work when they are 10, it might not work when they are 15. If it doesn't work when they are 15, it might not work when they go to varsity. If your child has no word inside of them, I'm sorry, you should not have confidence about where they're going. But when they carry the word, you are confident that the word that they carry, that word will see them through. I might not be there, but the word is there with them. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning. Nothing was made which was not made by the word. What does that tell us? The word is the material that we need for the future we want. The word is the material, is the raw material that we need. The Bible talks about how everything that we see was created by the word. So if something is absent in your life, get the raw material and you're able to manufacture that very thing. The word of God is the raw material that creates the future we need. Is it landing, saints? I'm just about to finish. Just bear with me for a few more minutes and we'll be out of here. It is the raw material. John 1:1, we've seen that. Now, there was a man, a centurion, whose servant was sick. And Jesus was ready to go and minister healing to this man, man's servant. And the centurion said to Jesus, No. I'm not worthy that you come under my roof, but I'm a man under authority. I say to one, go, and they go. I say to another, come, and they come. Just speak the word. Look at this here. Matthew 8, from 7, verse 7 to 8. I will go and heal, Jesus replied. The centurion answered, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. The centurion had revelation that Jesus did not have to be physically present for his word to be of effect. This morning, you don't have to be in the church for the word to be of effect in your life. You can carry the word when you're going on holiday, and the word will still be effective in your life. This morning, I want you to realize that the amount of value that you place on the word determines the amount of value that will be found in your future. If you can give me that statement. The amount of value you place on the word will determine the value that will be found in your future. The value that will be found in your future. The doors that will open in the future. I'm talking about the value that will be found in your future. The healing that will be found in your future. I'm talking about the value that will be found in your future. The favor that will be found in your future. The value in your future. I'm talking about the network of people that God will bless you with in the future. I'm talking about the breaking down of chains of bondage that will take place in the future. I'm talking about the protection from burglaries that will take place in the future. I'm talking about the wisdom that you will get in the future for your studies. The financial provision that you will need to claw back the debt you have accumulated over the years. That is a value in the future. But the question is, how much value do you place on the word? Joshua was told, this word shall not depart from your mouth. It is one thing to receive the word, but it's another thing to internalize the word. It's another thing to meditate, to utter, and to mutter. To speak the word until the word speaks back to you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. There is a first hearing that comes as I preach, but there's a second hearing that comes by revelation. It is revelation that brings faith in your life, and it is that mustard seed type of faith that moves mountains. I want us to stand up this morning. Tomorrow is going to be a good day. 2021 is going to be a good day. It's going to be a good year for you. It's going to be a good year for this church because of His presence, because of His promise, because He is faithful, because of His word. I don't know what you're sensing in your spirit, man, right now, but pray it out to your Father. Just speak to your Father. Just speak to your Father. Just speak to your Father. My Father, we thank you that we can face tomorrow with confidence. We thank you that tomorrow is a better day. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are with us. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, you are faithful. You are wonderful. You are mighty. Father, this morning we thank you that we can face tomorrow with confidence. We can face tomorrow with confidence, Lord. Lord, we thank you that yesterday is gone. Today is what we have, but tomorrow is a promise. Oh, yes, Lord, we bless your name today. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. You are highly exalted. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be exalted, Father. We are not afraid of tomorrow because you are with us, oh God. You fight our battles, oh God. You have gone ahead of us, Lord. Your promise secures the future for us. Lord, your word does not change. Father, we worship you today. We give you the glory. We give you all the praise, oh God. You are worthy to be praised. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I've spoken your word today. Lord, I pray that this word will multiply, would bear much fruit in the lives of your people. I pray for that one who is worried, anxious about tomorrow. I pray that this word would bring comfort. I pray that this word would stir up faith in their hearts. I pray that as they meditate concerning 2021, they would be reminded that their future is secured by your promise and by your presence. Father, this morning we thank you that you have good plans for each and every one of us, regardless of what we have gone through. We thank you that you have gone ahead of us, and we honor you and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on now, let's clap our hands to the Lord. He is faithful.